And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, SiriusXM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Shy City, for the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll have guests that will be on the show, and they will be on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Make sure you are tuned in, locked in, loaded, and ready to go. We're going to open up the phone lines earlier in the show tonight than I normally would because we've got a fun new feature that will be a part of our festivities on the Score moving forward. So looking forward to telling you all about that throughout the night. But before we get into any of that, I did want to just recount for you some of the things that have been going on in my world over the last few days. I did just come back. I was on with Bernstein and Harris yesterday from Huntsville because I did have a nice weekend. Hope all of you had an enjoyable weekend as well. I'm fresh back from the Rocket City from Hunts Vegas. Had a great time down there with some families back where I used to coach arena football for a while for the Tennessee Valley Vipers. And, you know, it was around the same time I was first getting into the broadcast industry. I was coaching football, coaching arena football during the spring and summer months. And then I was also getting into my broadcast career with the Big Ten Network at around the same time that BTN was launching. So it was fun to head back to Huntsville. Had a great time down there. My brother-in-law got married, and they didn't jump over the broom or anything, but it is official. He is a married man, so we got back home last night for that. And now I'm preparing for this weekend. We're going to be headed to Iowa City. My guy Alex Kuhn, a fellow Hawkeye. I know he's excited to watch the Hawks.
Yeah, a little disappointed after last weekend's game.
Yeah, with good reason. With very good reason for the results that they had in East Lansing against Michigan State. They've been a stronger team at home, have our Hawkeyes, so they return to Kinnick Stadium this weekend. I'll be calling that game this Saturday on the Big Ten Network as they face Chicago's Big Ten team, question mark, the Northwestern Wildcats. But the team in our vicinity here that is definitely doing big things is the Fighting Illini. So Brett Bielema's squad is in the top 20 at this point. They've got one loss on the season against Penn State. So that one loss being to one of the top teams in the country with this expanded college football playoff, Bielema's got the Illini sitting pretty this season. So they're getting ready to face the number one team in the country. They're getting ready to face the Oregon Ducks. And so that's a big game that Brett Bielema and the Illini are preparing for. So a lot of that Big Ten Network coverage going to be there, kind of covering not only my game in Iowa City, but you'll be able to watch me and hear me throughout the week on the Big Ten Network if you want to partake of any of that. But, you know, the local college scene, I know on this station, we don't get into that with as much depth as some of you might enjoy, might hope for, but when you got a squad that's not too far from Chicagoland here, the Illinois Fighting Illini, plenty of Illini fans within the sound of my voice right now that are excited about what's happening there in Champaign. So Brett Bielema and his squad, they will have their hands full with the Oregon Ducks this coming weekend. So there's a lot to look forward to in that regard. And I'll also, just real quick for you know, any breaking news that's out there, breaking news is brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Some reports just over the past hour here in the Carolina Panthers did put it out on their social media accounts that Andy Dalton, former Bears quarterback, current Carolina Panthers quarterback, and his family were involved in a car accident today in Charlotte. Apparently, neither Dalton nor his family were transported by emergency medical personnel, but Andy Dalton is being evaluated by team medical personnel at the moment. So something that's just happened throughout the evening here, or at least news that has just broken throughout the evening here about former Bears quarterback. And we just saw the Bears take on Andy Dalton just a couple of weeks ago. They were able to take him down. He's, of course, been back in the starting lineup as of late here for the Panthers, but he and his family unfortunately involved in a car accident. But since they weren't transported by emergency medical personnel, hopefully that means that they all came out without any significant bumps, bruises, or injuries. But we'll keep you updated if we do hear any other significant news in that regard. for the Bears themselves, as they prepare to return to the field this week, they've got their bye week that they're coming off of course, and now preparing to hit the road, head back to Caleb Williams' old stomping grounds back in the D.C. area to take on the Washington Commanders. That game got flexed to the national TV window. It was already going to be on CBS, but as opposed to one of the earlier noon windows on CBS, now that game will take place in the 3:30 Central Time window. So you'll hear Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call for that one. They will get the big audience, bringing the big eyeballs, and big opportunity for the Bears. Conversely, you can certainly look at it as a big opportunity for the Commanders as well. And, you know, the NFL within the last couple of seasons here, you've seen the way the broadcast partnerships have been divvied up a little bit, where there's some opportunities for where, you know, especially when I was a kid throughout much of my youth, throughout much of, you know, the last couple of decades here, Fox has mainly had the NFC games, CBS has mainly had the AFC games, and then the primetime windows, you know, divide up, you know, amongst, you know, whoever ends up being, you know, kind of the big game for that week, sort of regardless of which conference. Now, here over the last couple of seasons, that inventory divided up a bit more. We're about 2 years into, you know, where it's not so strictly or exclusively NFC on Fox, AFC on CBS. So this game between a couple of NFC combatants was already scheduled to be on CBS, but it's gotten flexed. Not flexed to a different network, not flexed all the way to primetime, but flexed to the national window on CBS in that second window of the day. Commanders, of course, leading the NFC East. They've got one of the players who is amongst the leaders for NFL Rookie of the Year, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams has certainly played his way into that conversation in recent weeks, the top two picks in the draft. And now, with the rib injury that was suffered by Jaden Daniels in their last game against Carolina, now things are a little bit up in the air. We don't know with any certainty yet whether or not Jaden Daniels will be available for the game. I think we can all be confident he'll do everything he can to get back onto the field there, but the Commanders as a franchise probably behoove them to make sure that, especially with the defense that they'll be facing this week, that they do at least operate with a bit of caution in preparation for the game against the Bears here, because the Bears are coming off a bye. Bears got one of the better defenses in football, and they do have, you know, it's not amongst the best pass rushers in football, but, you know, they've got some guys who can get after it. And I think I'll talk a little bit later throughout the show about the approach that can be a bit difficult sometimes, that I honestly think suits this particular Bears defensive front with how they go about trying to rush Jaden Daniels and how you have to look to prepare for, to contain a quarterback of his skill set, because it doesn't necessarily come naturally to all D-line approaches, to all defensive fronts. But I do think this matchup in some ways really suits the way that the Bears like to operate with how they get after the quarterback. And I'll be able to explain and describe that a bit more later in the show. But fresh off of what's been, you know, what we saw over in London, the Bears getting the big win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, they've had that opportunity to lick a few wounds. They've had that opportunity to self-scout, to self-assess, to really see where they believe they're at with things and how they'll come out of the bye in preparation for, you know, they've still got a few more non-division games until they get into the thick of divisional action. But there's a combination that the Bears will kind of be looking to thread the needle between how much they feel comfortable, feel is necessary to adjust or to tweak coming out of the bye, and how much are they really pleased with the way they're operating. There've already been some evolution and some adjustments during the early part of the season, and that's why we're seeing the Bears enhance in their production, especially on offense. We don't have a lot of answers on the health yet. We will hear in a bit from Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, as he had an opportunity to address the media on a wide variety of topics, including some of the injury updates on the Bears players that are on the roster as well. As I mentioned, though, Alex Kuhn on the ones and twos. He's booked a great lineup of guests throughout the evening here. We'll talk to Paul Papps, the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show, and also host of The Tailgate, which you hear on 670 The Score. We'll talk to Paulie a little bit later this hour. We'll take a broader look at the NFC North in general. We'll do that with Carmen Vitale, NFL reporter and host at Fox Sports. She covers the entire NFC North and does so in great detail, of course, here in Chi City as well. So we'll have Carmen join us throughout the show here. And we're just hours away, essentially. The Bulls tip off their basketball season tomorrow against the Pelicans. We'll talk to the voice of your Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, the Hall of Famer. We'll talk to Chuck later on in the show as well. There's a lot to be prepared for, a lot to look forward to. And one of those things that we should be eagerly anticipating here is one of the newer elements of the Odyssey app. And so that it's, you know, we'll see whether or not it comes easily to you. But this show this evening is essentially the incubator. We're going to be the test case for a new feature that's in the Odyssey app. You now have the opportunity to leave a voicemail message in the Odyssey app. And I know many of you out there, you've already downloaded the Odyssey app. If you haven't yet, you should certainly do so, because it allows you the opportunity to not only hear all the great programming from the various day parts throughout the day between Mully and Haw and Bernstein and Harris and Spiegel and Holmes, but also you can hear shifts from over the evenings. You can hear the various podcasts that are part of the Score family. But there's an icon that's now been added to the Odyssey app. So when you go to 670 The Score within the Odyssey app, you click on that. Next to the Listen Live icon, there's essentially a microphone tab that's over there. That allows you the opportunity to leave a voicemail message within the Odyssey app that we can listen to and then actually play back on the air. So it's yet another way, another means for you to actually have your voice heard on the show. So I know every time I open up a show when I'm hosting solo, I say, I am your voice. And, you know, hopefully you don't mind listening to my voice, trying to, you know, allow your voice to be heard through some of my ideas and things that I like to communicate while I'm here over the course of a few hours. But it's just another way for your voice to be heard, because we will have some open phone lines that we'll do throughout the show tonight. Certainly the text line will still be there as well. So not only the listener line, not only the text line, but now within the Odyssey app, you'll have the opportunity to use that microphone icon and actually download or upload a voicemail message that we can then play back on the air. Just make sure you keep it to 60 seconds or less. Keep it to less than a minute. That'll give the app the opportunity to ingest what you put in there and that message. Alex will have the opportunity to listen to it. And we'll have the chance to play it back a little bit later in the show.
So yeah, and don't swear, because I can't put that on the air. I guess I could bleep it, but just try to keep it copacetic. Come on,
it
guys.
It makes for extra heavy lifting if you do. If you're a foul mouth, just think about it.
Yeah,
you
know, but now that I say that, everybody's going to cuss.
Right, you know, Alex would have to hit the dump button, probably hang up on you on the phone line here if you actually called the show live and started cursing and swearing. So there's an opportunity here actually within the voicemail feature that you can leave on the Odyssey app. So have some fun with it, but just keep it to 60 seconds or less, and we'll have the opportunity to play some of that back later on in the show. Here's my question for you, though. Here's what I would love to hear you out on as you leave a voicemail message. Be the first to do it, man. Let's make some history here throughout the evening on 670 The Score within the Odyssey app. I mentioned how the Bears are going through their self-scout. They've done that over the bye week, and that's one of the things, especially after you get a little bit deeper into the season, you have an opportunity as a team for all this data that you've collected, not only on your opponents, and especially the opponents you faced in the past, the opponents who are coming up in the future, but on yourself. Through six games, the Bears have had a chance to evaluate everything that they've been doing, all their processes and procedures, their schemes and fundamentals. There's a lot that is still, even at 4-2, worthy of tweaking, worthy of questioning, worthy of evaluating for how the Bears can continue to improve, as they're still a few games away from getting into the depths, into the thick of conference play, of divisional play. With that in mind, what is your self-scout for the Bears? What specific position group are you most concerned about? Which position group do you feel best about? Would love to hear your self-scout on something, a particular position room within the Bears. Do you love the growth of the offensive line? The fact that there are now rumors about Nate Davis being shopped around or evaluated for trade talks. Does that do your heart good because you've just been frustrated by, you know, his lack of participation? And when he has participated, it hasn't gone so well for Nate Davis and the Bears. Is the secondary a big position of concern for you? Because, yeah, they've played well when all the starters are healthy, but now all these guys have been dropping like flies. Are you really worried about the DBs? The running back position, are they not throwing the ball to DeAndre Swift enough? Are they not getting enough carries to Khalil Herbert? Would love to hear your self-scout. Are you getting enough pass rush from that defensive front? Would you prefer for Ryan Poles to go out? You're talking about the trade market, the deadline. We still got a little bit of space between now and then. You've had this opportunity without a Bears game from over the weekend to sit back, relax, see that this division is still looking really good. And with that in mind, do you feel like some extra pass rush is something the Bears should make it a point, that Ryan Poles should prioritize going out to acquire to bolster this defensive line even more? Your self-scout on the Chicago Bears. Want to hear you out on that. So if you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, make it a point to go ahead and do that. If you've already got it downloaded, you may have noticed that little icon. When you have the Listen Live tab that's right there, there's a little icon that's right there, shaped like a microphone. Hit that. You can record a message, 60 seconds or less. Would love to hear your self-scout on a particular position group. Or you can throw the coaches into the mix as well, what you thought about Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus's game management, whatever. Find me something specific with a position room or a coach who coaches a particular area of the Bears and self-scout it for me coming off of this bye, because that's what the Bears coaches and players have been doing with their free time. With that in mind, I'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and I'll allow you to hear from Matt Eberflus. But go ahead, get into that Odyssey app, and utilize that microphone-shaped tab. Record some messages. We'll play those back as we get throughout the show, as we start to receive some messages, giving you an opportunity to make some score history within the Odyssey app. And now we'll take a timeout, come back, and you'll hear directly from the head man himself coming off the bye, Matt Eberflus. You get some sound from the Bears head man next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Just looking forward to this next competition. This is always going to be about us and our improvement, finding our winning formula for this particular game. Playing a good football team in Washington. Just had another big victory yesterday, as we all saw. But you guys are excited about that competition coming up this Sunday.
The boys love Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. Probably the safest way to go about it. Just call him Washington. Just make sure without slipping up on the mascot. I respect that. I dig it. The effort is heard, understood, and appreciated.
I still call them the football team. Does that make me weird? I liked it. I got used to it.
I was shocked how much that caught on, man. Like, folks were loving that. The Washington football team. I mean, you know, it's fine. It just, you know, it's kind of nondescript. There's a bunch of football teams. It happens
kinda
to
like
be 32
kind of like the Washington football team. They're very nondescript.
That's fair. They got a description now. Best team in the NFC East so far this season. So, but I get it. And I think for that period of time when they were quite the joke, quite the laughing stock, then it felt like Washington football team was probably pretty fitting for where they were at in the NFL landscape. But Yeah, man. Now they got Jaden Daniels. Things are looking up, leading a very competitive division. And that was one of the divisions coming into the season that I thought had some potential. You know, like I felt like Jaden Daniels was going to be a really good football player. I felt like, all right, he's going to give the Commanders an opportunity to improve. I was really confident this division, the NFC North, was going to be a really good division amongst the best in football. I wasn't 100% certain it would be the best, as has been the case by a fairly wide margin so far this season, but I thought there was a chance for that. Certainly the NFC East is usually uber competitive as well. Dallas is always trying to push their chips in and do something big. The Eagles are usually extremely competitive as well. I thought the Commanders would be getting better. So I felt like the NFC North would be better, but I thought the NFC East would be really good too. The other division that I really felt like was going to have a chance to be in the conversation for best, if it wasn't the NFC North, I felt like the AFC North was the other division that might have been that one that was going to be in the conversation for best in football. But the Cleveland Browns are just so bad that it just, you know, drags down the rest of the division. The Bengals started a bit slow as well. So it ain't that one. It is by a wide margin this here NFC North that the Bears are in. And so in the midst of this improvement that we're seeing in Chicago, in the midst of this ascension that the Bears are in, what we all hope is the early stages of, they're sitting at 4-2. Everybody else has 5 wins. You got 5-1 Detroit, 5-1 Minnesota, 5-2 Green Bay, 4-2 Chicago, and the point differential far and away the best top to bottom in this division amongst any in football. So it's the class of the NFL. So what does that end up meaning? Now with the NFL playoffs being a bit expanded, you could see 4 teams from this division all make the postseason. Is it likely? I don't know if likely would be a bit of an overstatement, but it's certainly possible. If it continues to move in this direction in the weeks to come, maybe even plausible. But for right now, it's a definitive possibility. So coming off a bye, there's really important news. There's important updates that we would be hoping for as Matt Eberflus addresses the media. We'll hear more from Flus throughout the week, get more, you know, more detail, hopefully, on where things sit with the team. But he has already, coming off the bye, had an opportunity to talk to the assembled media. One of the first things that he addressed was where the Bears are currently at from an injury perspective.
With the injury report, you know, Brisker's still going through protocol. He's got a couple more steps to go. But it looks good. Kyler, again, is working through his hamstring. We'll see where that is on Wednesday. Scott was out there today, our long snapper, so that was good. And so was Tyreek. Tyreek was also out there working through some stuff, but we'll see where that is on Wednesday. But all is hopeful for those guys, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Scott. Something about the way he just puts that emphasis on the last syllable of name.
Yeah.
Very, very Flusian. Scott was out there doing his thing as the long snapper. We'll see whether or not, because they already lost, you know, Patrick Scales lost earlier. You lose another long snapper, Scott Daly. And they're just hopeful about that. They have signed another veteran just in case Scott is not going to be available to return in the near future. But I almost felt like maybe he forgot his name for a minute. Who knows? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And then he made it a point to use Tyreek's first name also, just in case anybody kind of thought like, hey, in case you thought I forgot my long snapper's last name, I'm just going to use the first name of the DB as well. But a few other guys who've been a bit banged up also, but the most noteworthy ones were, of course, including the long snapper. That's mainly because Cole Kmet, your starting tight end and one of your most highly paid assets, had to step in and snap for you during the game and did an exceptional job in short snapping as well. But the Bears will have an option available if it comes to the next game, and Scott Daly is not available to do so. I was using the term self-assess to self-scout with the Bears. And by the way, we're already getting a bunch of voicemails that are coming in through the Odyssey app. So we're going to get to those in short fashion here, but continue to send those in. Really glad you all seem to be enjoying that already. And it's for anybody who missed it, we were talking about it a few minutes ago. New feature in the Odyssey app. There's a voicemail function that's there. When you actually go to the Listen Live tab within the 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. You hit you right next to Listen Live, you'll see a microphone-looking icon that's next to that. You can click on that, and it gives you the opportunity to record a voicemail message 60 seconds or less. So that's just another way that you can reach out and touch us at the stadium digitally. And you know, you'll have an opportunity to have your voice be heard on the station. So we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later in the show. We'll get to some open phone lines in hour number two. But in addition to that, we'll have the opportunity to play some of these voicemail messages back for you. And just as a reminder, what we're looking for on the voicemail for this evening, it's the first time the station is doing this, utilizing this voicemail feature within the Odyssey app. Want to hear from you, a self-scout on a particular position group with the Bears, whatever it is. Are you loving the wide receivers or have they been underwhelming? If so, why? How about the linebackers? Spent a lot of money on that linebacker corps. Are you getting everything you would hope for from the LBs? Are you extremely worried about long snapper? Does it bother you that Cole Kmet is the guy who's out there doing the snapping? Do you need to make sure the Bears are going to have long snapper situated between now and the next game? Pick a position group. Pick a coach if you want to pick a coach. But give me some sort of a self-assessment, a self-scout coming off the bye week that you want to the Bears to have shored up by the time we get to that game against the Commanders this weekend. And also, just to make sure you are aware, within our Bears coverage, you can download the Odyssey app and search for 670 The Score. Tap the follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of Sunday's showdown against the Commanders. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So it gives you a lot of different options for how you can dive into things within the Odyssey app.
Yeah, but, and I just want to say thank you for reminding people what the prompt was. We want your self-scout on the Bears. We're getting a lot of people very excited to be hearing you on the air for 3 hours. We appreciate that. But after that, don't forget about the Bears self-scout.
Okay,
like
yes,
Chris in Roscoe Village gave a really good Bears self-scout. Be like Chris.
Okay, all right, yes, that is everyone's goal in life. Be like Chris. Words to live by. If you have a particular Chris in your life, whether they are in Roscoe Village or elsewhere, be like that Chris, at least just for the next few hours. But let's get back into some Matt Eberflus sound because, of course, folks are always curious what Flus thinks, what he has to say about his rookie quarterback. So through the first 6 weeks of the season, it's one thing that Flus addressed, just his thoughts on where things sit with Caleb Williams.
What do you make of Caleb through the first segment here, and how does that stack up to what you thought you were getting?
I would just say improved, right? Or improving, right? So, you know, you can really see the improvement through the course of the weeks. And, you know, I always say it that every unit faces its difficulties every single week. It could be a pass rusher, could be scheme, could be certain players that threaten your unit, particular unit, offense, defense, or special teams. And I think he's learning that. As we go, I think he's learned to really do a good job in the noise to work through those things, and also just basic operation of good quarterbacking. You can see that with the way he's executed the last few weeks.
So, you know, nothing too earth shattering there for his assessment of Caleb, but he's getting better handling the noise. And I think when you hear Matt Eberflus use a term like the noise, that's not just, of course, being in hostile road environments, as we saw him have to navigate early in the season and not being able to hear the play calls at all times and having offensive linemen false starting left and right and getting off the ball slow and lining up wrong, you know, too deep because pass rushers are attacking them from all angles. But handling the noise of, you know, just from an intrinsic perspective, the noise of being the number one overall pick, the noise of trying to exist in this Chicago sports melting pot, you know, in the way that Caleb Williams has had to so far. So I feel like the noise, as Matt Eberflus describes it, there has several different meanings. Cliff Kingsbury was one of the potential offensive coordinators that got interviewed by Flus and the staff over there at Hallis Hall before he ended up deciding to hire Shane Waldron as his OC, as his offensive play caller. So Cliff Kingsbury ends up getting the job in Washington, running the offense for the Commanders. And, of course, they have gotten off to an exceptional start. And, in my opinion, Cliff Kingsbury has done a more effective job of taking pressure off of his young quarterback than what Waldron was doing early in the season, having that balance run to pass, having quick, easy reads for his QB, utilizing the mobility of Jaden Daniels as a quarterback. You can certainly make the case. Maybe that's a part of why Jaden Daniels is, in jeopardy of missing the game this weekend. But there's some elements of that that, you know, things may feel a bit more collegiate within the Commanders' offense. But he does have a rookie quarterback who looks very comfortable and has since the start of the season. Matt Eberflus was asked specifically about Cliff Kingsbury and how he's been operating within that Commanders' offense.
I've always respected him going against him over the years, and respect his offense and the way he finds space on the field, the way he's committed to the run game. But again, it was a pleasure to meet him personally. I had a great visit for a good amount of time during that interview, and it was very informative to both parties. But it was good takeaway.
The media did go on to ask Matt Eberflus a bit about whether or not, you know, they had a bunch of Caleb Williams specific questions for Cliff Kingsbury. And Flus kind of brushed that aside, said that wasn't really a part of the interview process. They were interviewing him to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears. And they ended up not hiring Kingsbury. They hired Waldron. And both with rookie quarterbacks, with young offenses, are starting to do really positive things here throughout the first now 7 weeks of this NFL season. But one of the storylines that came through the draft process as well, with the Bears having the number one overall pick, the comparing and contrasting of Caleb Williams versus some of the other prospects that the Bears could have considered in this draft, as they got through things, in the end, they decided not to even do a visit with Jaden Daniels. They evaluated him and determined that they were going to go with Caleb. And once they made that determination, they didn't even continue to bring other quarterbacks in. They decided Caleb was going to be the number one guy. And even though Jaden Daniels, we see the rookie season that he's putting together, the question has been there in the midst of the regular season, whether or not the Bears made the right choice. That's a part of the storyline for the game when these two teams do battle on Sunday. It's one thing Flus was asked about today. Just what exactly was his evaluation of Jaden Daniels?
You guys were high on and set on Caleb very early on. Did you also have Jaden Daniels marked down as this guy is clearly headed somewhere?
Yeah, no question. I mean, he is a talent, a big talent. And as you can see that in the first part of the game, he's got a real good future ahead of him. You could certainly see how he reads the field, how he sees, his vision, his anticipation, his accuracy, his ability to escape when he needs to, his ability to do the QB runs if they ask him to do that, athleticism. And, he's a big talent.
I agree with that, Flus. Definitely. Big talent, accurate, mobile, decisive. He's playing some good football so far. We're at the point in the – yeah, couldn't agree more. Scott, yeah, he likes to emphasize words in his very Flusian way. We're at the point in the NFL calendar now where the trade deadline is not here. There's not a period on the end of the sentence as of yet, but – we do know it's going to be approaching, and it's one of the things that can come up over the bye week as well, and especially when you have a position group that may have depth, or when you have a position group that you feel like there may be things worth adding. Whichever end of that you're on, the Bears are in a position where the rumor, the conjecture has been that they would look to add an additional pass rusher. I've certainly been asked about that pretty frequently on a variety of different platforms, frankly, both on the air and off. But beyond that, how they would go about assessing certain position groups, but then also is there a gluttony of interior offensive linemen now here in Chicago? Are they going to look to unload some guys just because things are going so well? A lot of different possibilities could be considered here, but rumors are always a big part of what takes place at this point in the NFL calendar.
There's been some trade talk generated by NFL Network centering on Nate Davis. Is there anything you can confirm about that, and are you guys listening to potential offers for Nate Davis?
Yeah, I would just say this, that, of course, during this time when you're leading up to the trade deadline, you're always going to have guys that are in conversation for those trade talks. And I'm not going to talk about particular players or players that we're looking at potentially, but that's always going to be the case. It's part of the business. It's an NFL player. That. And it's just part of that time that we're in right now.
I would term that as an unconfirmed confirmation. Because I was like, hey, are you guys in trade talks for Caleb Williams? No, you crazy? That one would be very easy to rebuff something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that.
But I think, you know, for him being willing to say, like, oh, Nate Davis, I mean, you know, a bunch of guys. You discuss trading all kinds of people. It's just kind of what happens this time of the year. So they're apparently willing to listen about Nate Davis. And listen, let's sneak one more in because this one relates directly to where what the situation is with Nate Davis. Ryan Bates apparently getting close to being healthy.
Yeah, we got some good report on him today. He is close. We'll see where it is as we go forward. But we'll see if he's in our plans here coming up.
So that matters. Matters quite a bit. If you feel good about where you're at with Matt Pryor and apparently Bill Murray, then Ryan Bates has been a hot commodity for Ryan Poles for years now. We just haven't seen him playing a game for the Bears yet. But you could end up being deep enough to get by in the interior of your offensive line and feeling better about things if that's the case. We hear more sound from those members of the Chicago Bears that have been addressing the media so far this week. We'll get to some of that later in the show. We'll certainly get to those voicemails that you've been leaving within the Odyssey app. I am eagerly anticipating hearing some of those, but also eagerly anticipating the guest who will join us next. Pauly Papst of the Dan Patrick Show will be with us next on The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And now joining me on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaResortLasVegas.com, is the aforementioned Paul Papst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show and the host of The Tailgate on 670 The Score. Paulie, what's happening? How are you doing this evening?
Anthony, it's cool to be on with you. I talked to you a few months ago, and I know you're from Bolingbrook. You know, I'm a Glenwood Cougar from the south side of Chicago, down that Chicago Heights, Homewood, Flossmoor area. I, air quotes, played for the Glenwood Cougars, and not a lot. I was like...
air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes. But we did play Bolingbrook a few times. There were some good squads over there.
Yeah. If you played us in football, probably didn't end too well for you. Now, if you played us in a few other sports, you know, if you wanted to take us on in swimming, something like that, you know, there wasn't too robust a swim program when I was there, like boys volleyball or something along those lines. Tennis, I don't think we were very good at. If you took us on in football, it was probably a long night.
I'm glad I didn't have to play against you. I just watched from the bench.
I feel you, man. You can find Paul on the X at Paul Papst. And I love whenever I'm, you know, I've been following you on social for a long time, and I know how often you guys have Al Michaels on. And just looking at your Twitter profile here right now, I am curious in what ways Al Michaels actually impacted your diet over the years. I mean, did you give up vegetables and green foods of any sense as well, since Al has done so well without those things?
I feel like I'm secretly related to Al Michaels. For those that don't know, the great broadcaster Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable, like wire to wire. He said even as a child he wouldn't eat them. He eats steak or some version of steak or veal 7 nights a week at this steakhouse near his place. And I've seen him eat steaks at halftime of a football game before. I've been in the booth, and he'll polish off a T-bone. He's an American hero.
Yeah, could not agree with that more, man. And the way that he operates, you know, maybe a lot of folks take life lessons from some of that.
Yeah.
And we've actually been utilizing a new feature we've been promoting tonight on the Odyssey app, where folks get the opportunity to evaluate the Chicago Bears. Since the Bears are coming out of a bye week, they've had an opportunity to self-scout themselves. So folks have been leaving voicemails for us within the Odyssey app for what their version of a self-scout would be of the Bears. Is there a position group that stands out to you that you would give a passionate self-scout about through six games?
And there is. I remember listening to The Score and all the different shows and reading the Sun Times over in August, and it seemed like there was a lot of doubts about the defensive line beyond Montez Sweat. And, you know, Ryan Poles made a couple trades right before the start of the season, and I don't feel that the defensive line has let the team down at all. I think it's been a real plus for the team. Gervon Dexter, I think he's about to hit it. You know football better than I do. But I look at Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs as like the peak of what a great defensive lineman is. He just disrupts at all time. Gervon Dexter feels like he's inching that direction of being just a havoc causer. And he's only in year two. I don't even think he's 24 years old.
Yeah, he's had a great second year so far for the Bears and what they've been doing on the interior of the D-line. And it feels like kind of, you know, life in the NFL with the trade deadline, when that truly does begin to loom, there's more action during the National Football League season in recent years than what we used to see in the past. I don't even know exactly what to what to sort of, you know, credit that with. But do you notice the same thing where there's more transactional, more trade type of action in the NFL? That used to be more of a basketball and a baseball yeah. type of thing. Football's got a lot more trades during the season now.
It definitely was a baseball thing. Back in the 80s, you'd always trade deadline. You'd get someone almost like a rental player for the stretch. But now it's not really a rental. You look at the Jets. The Jets have a window with Rodgers for this year and maybe next year. And they've made a path for themselves where they're trusting Aaron Rodgers, and it's not working out so well. So it's like all hands on deck. They traded for Davante Adams, and while it may not work this year, what's the downside? I mean, they needed help at the wide receiver position. If you look at the Bills have had this window for about 4 years of now of being a Super Bowl contender, and they haven't gotten there. And all of a sudden, Cooper from the Browns is available because the Browns stink, and let's grab him. Let's try to help our wide receiver core. I think the Bills are in better shape this year with multiple wide receivers than they were when they focused on Diggs last year.
Paul Pabst is the executive producer of the DP show and also host of the Tailgate on 670 The Score. You can hear that Saturday mornings. It is devoted to football, the Bears, the NFC North, even some college yep. football talk from 7 to 8 a.m. You can hear that on The Score and the Odyssey app. And the with the trade deadline coming up, one of the things that folks have been very curious about is whether or not the Bears would add a pass rusher, whether or not the Bears would unload Nate Davis. Do you feel like that where things sit with the roster right now, is this the type of year the Bears are in the midst of where Ryan Poles should be aggressive by the time the deadline gets here?
You know, last year I was a little surprised when Ryan Poles traded for Montez Sweat, but I was wrong. I thought, you know, it more felt like a rebuild. But when you see a pass rusher in his prime and they could get him, that's better than a draft pick. I don't know what you're going to get for Nate Davis. Anything that gets him off the roster, I think, would be fine with Bears fans. He seems like a minus. The one thing I would look for if I were running the Bears, which I'm clearly not, but if I'm Ryan Poles, you do have a little extra draft capital because of the great trade with Carolina. If you took a second round draft pick and found an offensive lineman, and there's not a lot of trades for offensive linemen, people don't give them up. But I think a few years ago, like Laremy Tunsil was traded. He's a Pro Bowler. If you could find a team that's on the downslide that wants to dump some salary, someone on a contract year or something, if you could add to the offensive line, I know that might not be sexy and make the fans go, woo, like Davante Adams, but if you could add a B-level offensive lineman at this juncture of the season, I think that'd be great.
With the depth of this division so far, I was just talking a little bit earlier in the show tonight. I thought this division would be really good. I felt good yeah. about the Vikings more so than some folks did.
Yeah.
Certainly had every reason to have faith in the Lions and the Packers. And, you know, not surprised the Bears are doing well here. But did you think it would be definitively the best division in football as it's been so far?
I think I like everybody, and not you, but a lot of people thought that without the quarterback situation over in Minnesota, it would be a little bit of a down year, somewhat of a rebuild because they were drafting J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. The Lions, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I know that's sacrilegious as a Bears guy, but you call it like you see it. Right. The Lions were in the Super Bowl last year, and they puckered up in that second half against San Francisco, or they were in the Super Bowl. And this year, they feel almost somewhat destined. I know the Bears have some games against them, and they've got a decent shot to beat them, but that Lions offense, you tell me, they look unstoppable. Their defense is good, not great. Hutchinson loss is really a killer. But Jared Goff is having multiple games over 80% passing. He feels like he's got it ready. And even though they're young at a lot of positions, they got a lot of playoff experience last year.
With a matchup like we have coming up this weekend between the Bears and the Commanders, the headline, it's obvious. You know, you got the billboard of Caleb Williams and Jayden Daniels set to go at it if Daniels is healthy. With as deeply as you've been able to be sort of entrenched in discussing and covering yeah. the NFL over the years, I mean, do you get wrapped up in that headline matchup with a couple of rookie QBs?
Well, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give it right back to you. If I was speaking to you as a Bears guy or a Bears supporter, even though we're journalists, as much as I want a good show and love to see Daniels versus Caleb Williams, I would also be fine if he couldn't play this weekend, you know, because the Bears are trying to stack some wins here. I love a good show, and I don't want Jayden Daniels to be hurt. He's an entertaining player and seems like right. a really great guy, and I think he would have been fantastic for the Bears or Williams, either one. But I'm kind of in that mode, like, you know, we win either way. We either get to see a great battle or we got a better shot to win. And not we, but the Bears.
Right. No, I definitely feel you on that, man, because the victory, especially because there's been no divisional games yet. You know, those are looming in the weeks yeah. to come. And then once the divisional matchups start, it's pretty much nonstop the rest of yeah. the year. So there is an opportunity to take advantage of this.
And I'm actually at the mindset, the bye week came at the wrong time for Chicago. Mm. They had just beaten Carolina. They just beat Jacksonville. They came home. Yeah, you get the week off after London. I would have preferred for the Bears not to break stride. Wow. They looked like they were really hitting their stride offensively. The defense is fantastic. The defensive backs are the best in the league. But I would have preferred that the Washington game be this week or last week, and they didn't have the week off. I'd rather have a bye week, maybe, you know, somewhere between like a nice Minnesota-San Francisco game when you need a break or something.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about it from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, they certainly had momentum that was building and the confidence that was enhancing there. When you look at the various situations that quarterbacks find themselves in, and, you know, Marcus Mariota, he may end up, if Jayden Daniels can't play, Marcus Mariota will end up taking the field here. Just the overall sort of spectrum of quarterbacks and the ebbs and flows of their careers here. It seems like some teams just get it right and some teams consistently get it wrong. Do you feel like the Bears and the plan that's in place there, do you feel confident that Caleb is definitively the guy and this thing is going to continue to ascend?
Yeah, not only do I think he's a very good player, if not going to be great, putting a team around him, especially defensively, gave him a head start. You go back years ago when Russell Wilson joined the Seattle Seahawks. He joined that team. He was a third round, maybe third or fourth round draft pick out of Wisconsin. He wasn't even supposed to play. I think it was Matt Flynn. But they had that Legion of Boom defense. They had a good offensive line, which the Bears don't have a really good offensive line yet. But Russell Wilson walked into a situation where, like, he didn't have a ton of pressure on him. And in the first month for Caleb Williams, he was all over the place, especially those first couple games. But he's starting to hit his stride. I think the defense is the biggest help. You know that I only need like maybe 14, 17 points for a chance to win. And he could put that up. It's getting better every week. But when you walk in, you played football. If you walk in with an A-level defense, which I think the Bears are, you feel like we have some room to, you know, have a three and out once in a while. It's not paralyzing.
That's the best part, man. When you have a defense that just keeps you in every game, it does alleviate so much pressure off a young quarterback to not feel like every play, every series, every drive has to end in him making some sort of Herculean effort. It makes all the difference in the world. Couldn't agree more, man.
Now, Anthony, I know we're talking Bears, we're talking NFL, but you're a Big Ten guy. I love the Big Ten. What a gigantic weekend ahead for the Fighting Illini. The Illini take down Michigan at home. It doesn't happen that often. The uniforms look great. They played great in that order. And then they got Oregon at Oregon, the number one team in the land. This is the biggest game for the Fighting Illini in maybe 20 years. Indiana, out of nowhere, just playing great. It's a fun Big Ten year, man.
It is. I opened the show with that. Normally here, Chicago radio, you don't get a whole lot of, you know, collegiate talks
that would
lead into a show. But yeah, with Bielema and the Illini being in the top 20, I'm actually calling the Northwestern at Iowa game. So I get to go back to my alma mater, call a game for BTN this Saturday. So yeah, there's a lot happening in the supersized Big Ten. A lot of folks dropping like flies in the SEC. So we'll see what this expanded playoff ends up meaning, man. But it has been a really, really fun college season so far. Is that part of what you're going to talk about this coming Saturday?
Yeah, we did a lot of college football on the tailgate on Score Saturday morning. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. It's the best show at 7 a.m. in Chicago. Not that there's any other shows at 7 a.m. on a Saturday in Chicago. But yeah, I'm an all-purpose football fan. I actually think that, you know, there's a ton of college football fans in Chicago. And you walk around, you see Illinois flags, Iowa flags, Wisconsin flags at the bars, outside people's apartments. It's a Big Ten town, especially on a weekend. You walk into those pubs in Lincoln Park or wherever you're at, you see people, especially for Big Ten or Notre Dame games, you know, packing the pubs. I think it's a big college football town. Even though Northwestern's good, you know, here and there, and they're not right downtown, there's a ton of college football fans in our town.
No doubt, man. From your lips to God's ears. Pauly Paps, appreciate you, man. Great stuff.
Anthony, glad to talk to you and glad I never had to face you against Bowling.
I'm telling you, man, if it would have been like ice hockey or, you know, freestyle swimming, treading water, you would have dominated me in treading
archery,
water.
I would have dominated you at archery, man. That's yes, all I'm going to say.
You'd have had a lot better chance anywhere else but football.
Take care,
Paul Paps, the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, host of The Tailgate. You hear it every Saturday morning here on 670 The Score. I'm late for a timeout. We come back, some of those voicemails that you've been leaving throughout the evening. We'll get to that. And we'll also open up the phone lines at 312-644-6767. The question I put out earlier, as the Bears did their self-scout over the bye week, would love to hear your self-scout, especially on a particular position group, a position coach, where things sit with the Bears. Self-scouting what they did through the first six games as we prepare for them to come out of this bye. We'll get into that next. 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.